The Tower of Babel spirit constantly gets broken up. Let us make our way to heaven and be our own gods. Look what we can do. And God constantly splits the thing up. He hits it. God is calling us to see that economic woe, dangers, worldwide turmoil, present distresses are answers of keeping his people.
In the darkness of the storm, it's always nice to know that God's grace is that silver lining that is ever present. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who today returns us to Revelation. We're in chapter 8, looking at the first 13 verses. It's there that we see the calm before the storm, uniquely and specifically, about a half hour. But from God's perspective, that half hour, that's a long time. Let's learn more, shall we? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio.
One day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. How long? And it seems like he's never really going to come. And we sit back and we start to wonder, is he really going to come? We start doubting it ourselves. We know that the world mocks it. Where is this coming? All the frustrations captured right here. All your frustration is captured right here. All of the frustration of God's people throughout history in the tribulation, in the crucible, in the hardship is captured right here in the half hour. 1,000 years is, you know, one day. Here's a half hour. Revelation opens up in chapter 8 in the seventh seal and takes us to what the silence means. You've wanted to know. I want to know. You got it. This is what would be unlocked and opened up in the last days to us. And here it is. So beautiful. You see, the Old Testament shows us over and over that just before the Lord was ready to come in thundering judgment, in fury to deliver his people, everything went silent. Everything went silent. Listen to Zechariah 2, verse 13. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Be silent. Zephaniah 1, verse 7. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He's invited his guests, and it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish. Be silent. So Revelation is showing us that what appeared to be that God was not acting, the struggle of silence, was in fact in earth, what appeared to be that God was not acting. How long? You're silent. That silence in heaven was the anticipation of God ready to break out of the temple. That's the imagery you're getting. God was ready to come out of the throne, off the throne. Remember, he's seated. The Lamb is seated. He's ready to get off the throne and come down to the earth in judgment. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. He's coming. Tremble. So the silence here is the patience of the saints, Revelation will call it, through this struggle. But heaven knows exactly what this silence is. The angels know exactly what this silence means. It was designed to be an encouragement that the very silence we feel on earth, that God is not hearing us, translates in heaven to everyone recognizing, all the living creatures recognizing, he's getting up. He's getting up. That's Revelation 8, verse 1. That's the seventh seal. So I was thinking, so what happened in heaven for the whole thing to go silent? And you have this picture and imagery that's given over and over in the scriptures, but particularly of something that happened in the life of Stephen. I think you get a good picture of this. Remember Jesus, when he ascended, we celebrate his session and seating on the throne. When Stephen was being unjustly stoned and martyred for the faith, he's crying out in prayer. He's praying. And do you remember what he said in that prayer? Here's what he said. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He's been seated. Standing. Jesus stood up to receive him into glory. That was the imagery. It's a powerful picture. It's a powerful thought. As Stephen prayed, Jesus got up. Now that is meant, and I think Revelation 8 is helping us with the final climax of that. That's the effect of the silence. Everything went quiet because he got up off the throne. Wow. What a moment. What stirred him to get up? Well, the rest of the chapter, at least here in these verses that follow, immediately help us to understand that. Look what's said in verse 2. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightnings, and an earthquake. Trumpets. Throughout the Old Testament, trumpets were given to announce something, weren't they? They sounded the alarm that the day of triumph and victory was coming. I mean, you could think of Jericho, boys and girls, right? What happens when the Lord commanded? Remember, when Joshua was to go, he was to march around the city seven times, and on the seventh day, they were to sound the trumpets, and the priests were to sound the trumpets, and the walls of Jericho would collapse, remember? All this is in the background here. Blow a trumpet, Joel 2, in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it's very near. Sound it. Verse 6 says that these angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound. The purpose here in sounding the alarm is to announce this day has come for Jericho to fall. Babylon will fall. I'm coming. I'm coming. Get ready. I'm not messing around. Get ready. I'm coming. Trumpets are sounding. So the announcement here of his coming is given. But here's where the vision is the great encouragement this morning. Here's where the vision is helping us in the struggle. John is seeing what's bringing this about. What's bringing this? John is seeing why the silence has come. What brought it? Trumpets are given. Why? What does John see? This angel comes and he has a golden censer and he comes and he stands at the altar. Now you should know this from our study in Exodus. This is why we go through this stuff. Remember that altar of incense sat right before the door of the most holy place. And when the incense burned, it filled the most holy place. It filled the whole place with smoke. What was that? Well, this incense altar is in heaven. That's the reality. That is where it really is. That's the reality. The angel takes the censer, he fills it with incense, and notice what he does. He mixes the prayers of the saints on earth with this incense. And it goes right up on into the throne room. What just happened? Well, it seems to me it's a fulfillment of a lot of things, and Psalm 109 speaks of it. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have fought against me without a cause, but I give myself to prayer. Prayer. All of our prayers. All of our prayers are pictured here, are represented here as receiving intercession. And as these prayers are incensed, if you will. All of these prayers go right into the presence of the Lord, and he hears them. It's an amazing moment in Revelation. What is the Lord showing us? Every single cry that happens from earth of his people, every single cry, every single groan of his struggling, languished people on the earth, all of that. Remember last time when Ezekiel and the ink men came back and he had marked all the people of God on their foreheads in the earth, election, and he came back and said, it's done. Remember what the Lord had told him to do? Mark those who sigh over the abominations in the earth. You're sighing over this stuff if you're a believer. You know how awful it's turned. You see the wickedness. You see the destruction, you see the hate, you see the violence. And all of it's pictured as these cries and sighs go up. It's pictured as receiving intercession and going into the ears of the Lord. You know, the very first cry came when? When Cain killed Abel. And the Lord said, Cain, his blood cries out to me from the ground. All this stuff keeps coming to me. You don't think I'm going to act? You don't think I'm going to deal with this? All the prayers of his saints are pictured as coming into the throne room, and the Lord hears them. The Lord receives them. He knows intimately your cries, your sufferings, your pains, your sorrows. And he's telling us in this vision, dear children, I see, I hear. This is scary for the non-believer. This is scary, really scary. And the revelation is saying the silence that you're experiencing on earth is a preparation for my coming in judgment. The appearance that I'm not hearing, the appearance that I'm not acting, and the feeling that your prayers don't get past the roof, that struggle that makes you feel like I'm absent, it's not true. I've trained you a whole life to live by faith for a reason. I hear you. I know your cries. I know your thoughts from afar. This is not only moving, but it has such a long history with it, doesn't it? It's all borrowed from the Exodus. Remember 400 years God's people cried. 400 years. They were in bondage in that place. Pharaoh was a cruel, he was throwing their babies into the water. And did God not hear? This was the reason he came. He told Moses this. Listen to what he told Moses. I've heard the groanings of my people, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I've remembered my covenant. So God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. How so? Well, Revelation says he's not just hearing. See, the next part says he's answering. What happens? As soon as the angel mixes the incense with the prayers, he takes the empty censer. It's been all emptied out. All your prayers are now up to God. And now he has this empty censer. And you'll notice verse 5, he takes it, he fills it with fire, and he throws it back to the earth. That's not good for the earth. He's hitting the earth. I'm not sitting idle, says the Lord. In the very place for your prayers, he takes a censer and he casts it back to the earth. You'll notice that in verse 5. And God told you he's sending the judgments on the earth. We've been learning about this in Revelation, haven't we? That was the horsemen who were sent out. And so he's telling them, you need to look at what's happening in the earth a little bit differently. I'm not transforming it, I'm judging it. Going to be burned with fire. Think of the first century. There's a powerful Roman Empire persecuting them. They don't know what to do. Roman society all of a sudden starts facing all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems they just can't solve. Where's this coming from? Makes no sense, does it? Should. Scandals in the Senate left and right. You can read about all this. Monetary messes. Remember, he's holding the scales. Fires, natural disasters. All this stuff's happening. They can't stop it. Their empire's crumbling. Why? Well, the Lord wanted the Christians to know that all the problems they're experiencing on earth, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, that's fire being hurled back down upon the earth from heaven. He gets angry when his people are assaulted and his people are martyred, and he delivers back blows, leading to the final blow. All over the Psalms, beloved. Psalm 18, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. The Lord's going to afflict those who afflict us. Revelation follows this up by saying there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Those are storm theophanies of God coming in judgment on this world. The storm has come. And that's the perspective Revelation is giving us. You ever notice how the kings and kingdoms, or all the leaders of this world, are trying to build lasting peace and can't do it? Haven't you figured that out yet? They can't do it. Lasting economic security, lasting security, lasting fortification, lasting, nothing's been lasting. The Tower of Babel spirit constantly gets broken up. Let us make our way to heaven and be our own gods. Look what we can do. And God constantly splits the thing up. He hits it. God is calling us to see that economic woe, dangers, worldwide turmoil, present distresses are answers of keeping his people. Cast in the Exodus story, what did Moses say to Pharaoh? Let my people go. Let them go. Pharaoh said, no way. I'm going to make their bondage harder. What did God start doing? Well, you studied it. He plagued that place good, didn't he? Their rivers turned to blood. Hailstones fell from the earth. Frogs smote them. You just read the plagues. We went through all of that. The same thing happened. The sun darkened. Judgments hit all of creation, land, sea, and sky. That's what you have described in chapter 8. All the major parts of creation are hit. Creation, land, sea, water, sky. That's all the judgments right here, paralleling what happened to Egypt when they messed with God's people. And then Pharaoh was drowned in the sea. And the Lord wants you to say, I'm doing the same thing. This is what's happening now. But this is Goshen. This is Goshen. Pharaoh wouldn't let go. They cried, the Lord broke out of heaven and led them to the sea and led them through the sea. And that's when the silence ends. The Lord breaks out of there in flaming fire to judge the wicked. So what kind of perspective does that give us this morning? I hope a lot to be encouraged. Don't lose heart. We, of course, pray, don't we? People would be saved in the day of salvation. That's our greatest prayer. That's what should fill heaven. But remember, there is a kingdom of darkness that absolutely under the dominion of Satan that is absolutely wants to destroy you. Be thankful the Lord is defending. Christian prayers are integral to the downfall of the enemies of the gospel. They are. You understand Jesus' parable now. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a little widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice from me for my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her. She just kept coming and coming, bugging him, get justice, get justice, get justice. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this unjust judge says, I'm sick of this. I'm going to deal with it. Because this widow keeps bugging me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said? Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? He doesn't get tired of your prayers. He invites you to keep doing it. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When that day comes, it's a challenge. Because of the dangerous seasons, will there really be people calling out in prayer to him? That's a challenge to us. What a reason then not to lose heart. Don't be shocked by what happens in this world. Don't live in fear of that. Don't fill up Facebook with worrisome posts about the nation. Not what you're called to do. History's told you how this is going to go. The scriptures tell you. Here's how it's going to go. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of our Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. Only hold your peace. Well, that's the message, isn't it? He's going to fight for you. If that's the case, then why don't we listen to Jesus this morning and honor our Father, as we were challenged to do, by listening to Jesus, saying to us, men ought always to pray and to not lose heart. He will avenge his elect, his 144,000 marked by God. Again, not a literal number, of a multitude no man can number. He will avenge his elect speedily, who cry out to him day and night.
Our God is faithful. In the midst of the storms, he is faithful to extend his grace to his own. What an amazing truth we've learned today here in Revelation. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we call out to you this morning and are thankful for your word that encourages us. If we saw and experienced in full the persecutions that are happening by our brethren around the world, this would take on even more meaning. But it shouldn't have to bring us to this place, to make us a praying people more, to call out more for deliverance, help, salvation in the earth, and to call out realizing your great power that you're with us, that you've promised to defend us, that you've given us a Savior who is seated on the throne, who lives and reigns forever and ever, who is true God and true man, the one to whom everyone will bow. If we believe that, then help us to pray more and take away our fears. Let us see in these trials and tribulations you have a good purpose. And when we don't see it for the present, to entrust ourselves more to you, knowing that in the end it will all be made clear. And we will see that indeed your promise was yes and amen, that all things indeed work out for good to those who are the called by God. Thank you that we can come to you and come to the King, to the throne of grace. We confess our laziness at times, our ignorance, that we in this discipline, which is called a discipline for a reason of prayer, we've been neglectful. Help us to be a more praying people, looking and hastening for the coming day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for encouraging us, that you're defending us and will keep us to the end. We need that. We receive all this today with thanksgiving. Thank you for your wonderful word, and thank you for the gospel of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.